I'm very happy to welcome now to the show Heather Hennerman. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Coalition for Literacy, and Virginia Pulver, who is the recruitment consultant. She's with AmeriCorps Vista and working with New Mexico Coalition for Literacy. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So literacy, illiteracy in the state of New Mexico is a much bigger problem than I ever knew.
That's correct. Just to give you a sense of the need, in the state of New Mexico, it's estimated that almost a million adults who are native English speakers could benefit from literacy services.
A million of our 2 million inhabitants?
That's correct. It's almost half. It's approximated that almost half of adults could benefit from improving their skills. And we're talking about functional illiteracy as well as illiteracy. In other words, they're about sixth grade level or below.
That's my favorite statistic. The first time I heard that, I locked onto it. Almost 46% of the adults in New Mexico can't read and write it in their own native language above the sixth grade level.
And the sixth grade level isn't necessarily very high.
No, that means they can't do things like read the labels on the medication bottles. They can't do things like read stories to their children. They can't. How do they fill out a tax form? How do they get a driver's license? How do they accomplish any of those things? It's just remarkable.
Read street signs. You can't travel. You're literally a prisoner in your own community.
What is wrong with our school systems that so many people end up this way? Are we talking about people who went through the New Mexico schools, public school system?
They do, in fact, and some don't. Some drop out. Others make it all the way through the school system, go on to improve their education. They might even attain bachelor's degrees, master's degrees. So there really isn't one stereotype.
You mean there are people with a sixth grade education, sixth grade reading level who have a master's degree?
That's
even
correct.
Lower. I have a wonderful story on that, and if you don't mind, I'll just jump right in with it. there's a book. It's called The Teacher Who Couldn't Read, and it's a biography, an autobiography of this gentleman. He taught for 17 years, and he was an award-winning teacher, remarkable man. Would you care to guess what he taught?
English.
He taught English. And here's the kicker of this story. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. His family didn't know. His students didn't know. The faculty didn't know. People didn't know.
How did he get hired?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? When he first decided to tell people about his situation, he went back to the college that he went to and said, this is not going to look good when I tell people that I could get through my academic education without being able to read and write. And so they agreed that he needed to tell his story. We need to know that there's people out there that are slipping through the cracks, and they can hide it so well. The man is very intelligent. And the way he got around it was in the classroom. He would say, Heather, you need to be a leader. Come up here to the blackboard and outline the chapter on the board. And he would say, Mary Charlotte, you come up here and take attendance. You need to know how to do these things. You need to be a leader in life. You need to be able to manage. And that's exactly one of his coping mechanisms.
But it's still shocking, and somebody needs to be sued that, first of all, people can graduate from college, high school, master's degrees without, slipping through the cracks. How can somebody slip through the cracks? Don't they have to write essays?
Well, they say the first few years of school, up to the third grade, you are learning to read. And then after third grade, they say you read to learn. And so you can imagine, if you haven't learned to read by then, a lot of things go on. But, I think maybe I should jump in here with a little. I always hesitate to talk too much about the school system and the education. It's a scary and it's frightening. But our line of work is with the adults, and we're more concerned with taking them where they are, accepting them where they are, finding out what their goals are, and moving forward.
Yeah. We'll talk about the horrors of the school system another day.
Yeah. Though I do want to say, it really is important to identify children before the third grade, so that intervention can occur.
Children who cannot read.
That's correct, yeah, because that's the point at which we lose them. And I do want to commend both of our gubernatorial candidates for at least looking at early childhood development. Candidate and current Lieutenant Governor Dennis did talk about the need for children to be able to read before they even enter kindergarten. Candidate Martinez also proposes to test children at the third grade 3 times a year. I think these are all very positive suggestions. And the cause is manifold, though. I think parental involvement is huge as well. But again, as Virginia said, we don't really want to look at the causes, even though we're still looking towards solutions at the same time. When it comes to serving our students, it's really important not to point fingers, because there's so much history there, so much trauma, and so much sensitivity. And people are very sensitive about the subject, too. I think if we all have a hand in the solution, we'll be able to move past.
You know, and another aspect of that is, too, if you're 45 or 50 years old and you finally realize, I need to know how to do some basic things in my life. One of those basic things in your life is probably not to know phonics and grammar, and it's probably not that you want to read a great book. It's probably something way more simple. You want to be able to have dignity. You want to be able to go in and read the menu so you can go to a restaurant. You want to be able to go get a driver's license. You don't want to be driving around without a driver's license. You want to come clean. You want to be... So the goals that our students often have are sometimes pretty modest.
Very practical.
Very
sometimes
practical.
It's as simple as, I want to read to my grandkid, one of our students of the year. That was his goals. And that, at the age of over 60, is what caused him to come forward for services. I want to read the Bible. Basic activities of daily life, people have a lot of challenges with. A lot of challenges.
So what is the New Mexico Coalition for Literacy doing? Like, what kind of programs are you offering for people who want to learn to read or improve their reading skills?
First of all, this is wonderful. I love this. Free. The programs are free. And they're one-to-one. And they're confidential. So if someone comes in and says, I want to learn to read and write, we're not going to put them in a setting where they're going to be embarrassed, in a public setting where they're going to be in a classroom. It's going to be a private one-to-one tutoring session, which, you know, I just think it's wonderful. And that it's free.
Yeah. And so one-on-one means that each student is matched with
a tutor. Mm-hmm.
And that tutor has to be trained to work with adults, because teaching an adult to read is going to be different from teaching a first grader.
Right, right. And we provide that essential training. So if any of the listeners today would like to step forward and serve their local community, they can go to the Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe. And if you just give a call to our toll-free number, which is 1-800-233-7587, we can put you in touch with that program or any program in the state of New Mexico. And you don't really need to be a high school English teacher or a professor or an academician.
No.
You just need to be one step ahead of your students. So sometimes the best volunteer tutors are those who are great parents, great coaches.
Warm, loving.
Warm. It's really
like coaching,
about the relationship that you build with your student. And if you know anybody who is in need of literacy services, look around you and imagine that almost half of everybody you encounter could benefit from literacy services in the state. And in Santa Fe County, it's almost 1 in 3.
Very interesting.
Almost 1 in 3 in Santa Fe County. And in Rio Arriba County, which is
very close by,
it's 61% in Rio Arriba County.
61% are reading at the sixth grade level.
Are reading
or
at
less.
The sixth grade level or below. And then surrounded in dark contrast, Los Alamos County is 13%.
Right.
So the people that drive up drive up to Los Alamos and work in some of the service industries and stuff up there, and it's pretty sad. They can't read and write.
There's I would think so much shame associated with not that would really cause people not to step forward and seek that kind of help.
You know, I want to tell a little bit about Martin Griego at this point, because when you mention shame, it always kind of makes me laugh. What's his line, Heather? You like to say it.
He was lost, lonely, and looking for love.
It's so funny when he says this.
That's a lot of else.
This man was basically clinically depressed. He was taking alcoholic. He was taking drugs. He was hiding this deep, dark secret. But he managed to. He was functional. He had a job. He would go to work every day, and people liked him. They loved him. But when they promoted him. They put him in an office position. He worked there for about 3 days, and he said, "I quit. I don't want to be in an office. I want to work outside." But the real truth was he couldn't do the paperwork. He knew right away, "I can't do the paperwork of a supervisor." But you know, of course, he's not going to admit that. But when he really came to terms with stuff, it had to do with the loving part of him. He wanted to date this woman, and she was an English teacher. And she said, "Martin, I can't date you. Your English isn't proper, and you can't read and write. How can I date someone? how can I have a relationship with someone who can't do this basic task? And that's what actually drove him when he was about, he was almost 50.
Yeah.
But here's the really amazing part. They matched him with this tutor, and 9 years later, Martin published a book. He wrote and published a memoir, and he's now a motivational speaker. He goes all over the state, and I mean, he's like a totally different man. He's ballroom dances, and he plays golf, and he just is, you know, it's turned him around. He's no longer, his self-esteem is fine.
Now, in the Hollywood version, he would have ended up dating the English teacher.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I know. When I write the movie, I've thought of that, too. Yeah.
And he drove 30 minutes. He lived in Albuquerque, drove all the way to Rio Rancho because he didn't want anybody to know, speaking of the stigma.
His children didn't even know.
It's a great honor, yeah, to have him as a spokesperson whom your listeners can see on September 8th for Literacy Day.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Literacy Day. That's September 8th. It's in Albuquerque from 11 to 1 at the Outpost Performance Space. And what happens in that event?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm the kind of the project person on this one. And we've invited Mayor Richard Berry and his wife and Senator Dede Feldman. And we have a radio host, Harlan Makasato. And Hakeem Bellamy's going to be there. He's a poet in a slam poet, and there's some other prominent people, a few authors. Anyway, what they're going to do, we've asked each of them to read a selection from a book that has influenced them, and then tell us a little bit about how literacy has, you know, influenced them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Martin Griego is going to be there, and he'll read from his book. He's one of he's our advocate for literacy.
And this event is brought in part thanks to a grant by the Verizon Foundation.
Right.
So I would like to thank them for that as well.
It should be fun. It's free, and we invite people to come and bring their friends and bring a bag lunch because it's from 11 to 1, and maybe you know if you have to leave early or something, you're welcome to bring a bag lunch. It should be a lot of fun.
And you feel free to leave and come and go as you please.
Right.
Excellent. So we're talking about the New Mexico Coalition for Literacy. It's a coalition of what? A lot of different groups.
Right.
In 1987, local literacy programs banded together. It wasn't desirable to go before the legislature piecemeal, so we needed a way to connect every program in the state with a united voice before the lawmakers to get the funding. And at the time, literacy was in the forefront. The Carruthers administration is where we were founded. In fact, our first home was in First Lady Catherine Carruthers' office.
Wow.
Yeah. And she didn't want to lend her name to a local provider. She wanted to have a statewide impact. And we're one of the few First Ladies initiatives that are still standing to this day.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And
22 years.
She and we are very proud of our work, which is to provide funding, free training, the tutor training we talked about, training to local directors so that they can do their jobs and in turn provide services to the adult literacy students. We also have a special lending library in Santa Fe. We are funded by the Department of Cultural Affairs through the New Mexico State Library, so we're very thankful for our current funders too. And we survived this legislative session. We're happy to be here. Nobody came through that session unscathed, but we're still able to support new programs. And in fact, up in the north nearby, we just funded a program in Las Vegas, another huge area of need.
And we're looking to, there are other places that really need programs. It's really fun to go out and visit each of the programs because they're based on what the local area needs and they reflect the culture of the local area. So some places you go, it's very, very grassroots, and it's other places you go, they're associated with them. The university systems or the colleges, and so, you know, the programs are quite a bit different, and they have it's just really fun to see, to go and see and hear these passionate people doing these good things.
When people are learning to read at an older age as an adult, do they start with Dr. Seuss? I mean, the kind of books that we started with to learn
Thankfully,
to read?
Thankfully, no. And that's why lending libraries like ours, which is a special lending library, are so very important.
I love Dr. Seuss. I still read
Right. And who doesn't?
And,
and who doesn't read children's books? I think there's beautiful wisdom in children's books, too, or fun. But our lending library is so important because we have non-humiliating holdings for our students. And there's one series in particular, the Junkyard Dan series, by an independent author who founded her own publishing company that's humorous and fun and hip and interesting.
The topics are and relative the, to adults.
Right.
And it's geared toward that.
And
series
it's geared toward
adults.
Adult low-level readers. It's
very
specifically designed for that. And a lot of the source work, and again, Virginia talked earlier about how we're different from the K-12 model. The way we, when we teach a volunteer how to tutor, is to use real-world materials. There's what's called the language experience approach. And so literally, the student will sit there and tell you a story, and that story's coming from their mouth. It could be about anything they want, or you could take a picture and say, tell me a story about this. And then the tutor is writing the story down as the student's saying it, and then they work through line by line each sentence, and student learning is up and down, so our students can maybe know very simple words. Sometimes they know very sophisticated words in terms of their reading ability. So the story will literally tell the story of where they need to start. And then they work through it, and the student succeeds. In one session, you can actually work through that student story, get the student to read their own words, and because it is their own words, they're better able to read
and
it.
And they feel successful.
And they feel successful.
And confident.
They also make the connection between reading and writing and the fact that you don't have to write a treatise, for example, in order to be a writer. You can write how you talk. And so it opens up a whole new world and a whole new way of literacy and learning. So you don't really need these sophisticated textbooks and volumes of these different...
You know, when you're a little kid and you're learning to read, too, it's much more, well, you know, what you're interested in and what your parents... When your parents read to you and they read you the labels, or they read the recipe out loud,
right.
Or you're in the grocery store and you compare the two kinds of cereal. And you know, those are the kind of interactions you actually have with these adults. You find something that interests them and it's relevant to their life. And you work through it. I remember one person talking about what they used the telephone book as a tool, and the woman was interested. I don't remember the specifics, but they were using the telephone book, and the woman would look things up in the telephone book while she learned a lot about, you know, alphabetical order. These things started to become clear to her.
How things are structured, how a document is. So it's also document literacy is a huge thing, and again, that's very relevant. You might have a student bring in a resume or an application. And that's the source of learning.
Or you might be helping them write a letter to the teacher, you know, for their child, you know, because that's something they really need to know how to do. So, you know, it's not a cookie cutter approach at all. And, you know, it can be pretty discouraging, I think, sometimes to be the tutor because it can be a little scary sometimes. But on the whole, they seem to, they bond with their students and a real relationship develops and it becomes more than just tutoring about language and tutoring about literacy.
Yeah, I want to encourage anybody listening now who would like to become a tutor to not be intimidated. We give you the tools for success. We provide, it's only a 2-day training. It's totally free of charge. Thanks again to the state of New Mexico for that. And different private funders as well and grantors.
And they only have to have about 2 hours. You spend about 2 hours a week with your student initially. Sometimes later they commit more time. But initially it's about 2 hours a week. And
that's
you might
it.
Spend some prep time, you know. So it's a couple hours a week. And it's in a location that you negotiate with your student so that you don't have, you're not having to, you don't have, to, either one of you should have to travel a lot or pick, the time can be pretty flexible too. So it's a great volunteer opportunity because there's a lot of flexibility and autonomy.
The New Mexico Coalition for Literacy is on the web at nmcl.org, and they can also be reached at the phone number 800-233-7587. 233-7587. It's an 800 number. And once again, Literacy Day is Wednesday, the 8th of September, from 11 to 1 at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque at 210 Yale Street. Heather Hennermond is the Executive Director of New Mexico Coalition for Literacy, and Virginia Pulver is the Recruitment Consultant, and she's with AmeriCorps Vista, who are brought to you by the federal government. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you
Happy
for having
reading.
Us.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe radio cafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.